my experience of our home, we've lived here quite a long time. Like, we moved here at the end of 1990, and it's been a family home during that whole period. We've taken an old house and made it a whole lot more sustainable, doing initiatives with water recycling and rainwater, and also solar electricity and solar hot water, and also the using less in the first place things like water conservation and energy efficiency as well.
All right, so you've been running this for like nearly 20 years now.
Well, it's over 20 years. Like, it's we've lived in the same house for 26, going on 27 years. My two children are now 26 and 22, and they've both moved out. So it's just me and Wendy and the dog and cat and some chooks now.
All right, so what's your experience being doing these projects? I gather from what you're saying, you sort of, you know, you did a project and then you did another project and then you did another project. How did that go for you?
The approach we've taken, I guess, is to do what we can when we can. So early on, like when we were stretched for money, we did the low-cost or no-cost things, and like we diverted water from the shower and laundry to the garden, which is very low-cost, using simple polypipe and gravity methods, and, you know, the funnel in the elbow outlet of the pipe from the shower or bath, and the long hose on the washing machine. So that was a basic thing. We put in a rainwater tank that we actually bought secondhand, and things like that. But over time, as opportunities arose, like, we've upgraded our rainwater system with, it would be over 10 years ago now, but we put in polyethylene tanks and have about 20,000 litres of storage for rainwater. And we also got a grant from, in Victoria, there was an organisation called the Smart Water Fund, and they assisted us with putting in a state-of-the-art grey water treatment system. So it turned grey water into water that was clean enough to store indefinitely and also use back inside the house as well as for garden irrigation. Not for drinking, but for washing clothes, flushing the toilet, or watering the veggies or fruit trees, etc.
So what's involved in a state-of-the-art grey water system?
The type we put in, the brand or product was called EnviroWater. Unfortunately, it's not on the market at the residential scale anymore. That's servicing the industrial scale with that sort of technology. But it's basically biological and or mainly biological treatment. So there's a tank in our front yard that's buried. It's about, I think it's 600 litres. It's a bit over a metre deep and a bit less than a metre in diameter. At the top of that, there was a fountain, and water from the shower and bath and laundry flows into that, and it's a batch system. So when it was full, a cycle would start and run for 10 hours and circulate the water up using a pump, so that the fountain went on, the water was aerated but through that process and flowed back through. For want of a quick description, there were balls of gravel or aggregate that hosted the microorganisms that ate the bad stuff in the water and made it clean again. So after a 10-hour batch process, like the fountain running for 10 hours and the water flowing back through these balls of aggregate inside the tank, it was then pumped out of that into storage. In our case, it was storage under the house, and we had water like bladders or big sacks of water under the house. Each of those hold, I think, 5,500 litres, so it's a total of about 11,000 litres of storage. Unfortunately, the EnviroWater's been out of action for a couple of years. It's in the process of being repaired, but and we've really missed it, so I'm hoping it will be up and running again soon.
Okay, that does sound like a really significant system that you've got there, certainly quite different from sticking a hose on the shower.
The hose on the shower is a good method, particularly if you've got gravity on your side. Like, we live on a bit of a hill, so it was easy for us to get stuff out to the front yard. It was very difficult or impossible to get it right up the back, where we had quite a few fruit trees. But what we did is we planted stuff to take advantage of that. So we've got almond trees out the front and a feijoa tree and things like that. So we were able to take advantage of the water from the shower and bath using like the simple low-cost method. But the dry water, the advantage of treating the grey water is you can store it indefinitely. And with the bladders, it meant that we built up like a reservoir of that water during wet weather, and we could use it when the weather got drier. And with flushing the toilet with it, it also meant that each day some of it was being used. Like one of the traps with rainwater tanks is if you're not using the water back inside the house, they're quite often full for half the year, and you don't get any use out of them because the water overflows and goes down the drain. But if you've got it plumbed into your laundry or toilet, something inside the house, it means you're using it pretty much every day, and next time it rains, you're going to catch more of it.
Yeah, that's a very interesting concept, because Australians have had rainwater tanks for a very long time, but as you say, they sort of fill up over winter, and then you've just got whatever that capacity of the rainwater tank is, and that's really all you've got until it rains again.
When we upgraded our water systems, we ended up with rainwater supplying most of our use inside the house. There were two taps were left on mains water, the kitchen tap for drinking and cooking and the bathroom basin tap for brushing teeth, but all the other taps were plumbed to the rainwater. The hot water was all from rainwater and still is. And the rainwater was also used in the laundry. Like we never end up using the recycled water in the laundry. We've always used the rainwater in the laundry. We found that we got as low as 4 litres per person per day, even through that really how we had that 10-year long dry period. It was in the middle of that, or that we got as low as that in terms of our mains water consumption, with all our other water coming from either the rainwater or the recycled water. Now, at times, our consumption, like since then, has gone way above that because we've used a lot more on the garden at times. For quite a few years, we weren't using any mains water on the garden, but then eventually we decided that's simply transferring your water debt elsewhere. So, like, if you're growing food at home, you may as well use the water that's available if you can. If you're not, like, when you see figures on how much water it takes to grow food through either agriculture or horticulture, using irrigation, it's enormous. So it's sort of a false thing to not use any mains water on your fruit trees or veggie garden if you have got that available.
Right. Now, you've just written a book, Water Not Down the Drain. Can you tell us about this?
The book has just been revised. Look, it was written and put out in print a while ago, like maybe 2008, but it's just been revised this year and put out as an e-book. Basically, it's written as a guide to using rainwater or grey water or stormwater at home. It sort of takes you through the things to look at your own place and hopefully help people prioritise what they want to do and work out how to do it. From what I understand, a lot of people in South Australia have rainwater tanks and probably familiar with that. This book might help them to put their rainwater to more use than they currently are if they're not using it inside the home. They might look at how to do that. It might help them with either the low-cost or the higher-cost water, grey water systems or water treatment systems. Or the third thing is stormwater, which is water that's hit the ground. You can create things like water gardens that take advantage of that. The water is harvested or diverted into an area that you're deliberately trying to capture it, and you have plants there that will take advantage of that. So that's the gist of a water garden. And it would then be plumbed to overflow to where your stormwater would normally go. It covers quite a bit, and with it being available as an e-book, people can just download it from the Alternative Technology Association's website. I think members get it cheaper than non-members, but because it's an e-book, it's not as expensive as a printed book.
Now, it's quite interesting to hear you from Victoria talking about how you left the mains water plumbed in for drinking, because that is something that we here in Adelaide would never do. Like, if we are going to have our rainwater tank, we're going to drink it because our tap water is so bad.
I live in Melbourne, and we're relatively lucky that the water quality is usually good. And depending where you live, it can be, more sensible to drink your rainwater, but you have to be more careful about it if you're going to drink it than if you're using it on the garden. There's like a hierarchy. If you're just flushing your toilet or watering the garden, you don't have to be as careful. But once you start putting it through your hot water, because it's coming into contact with people and you're washing your dishes with it, etc., you have to make sure it's cleaner. But if you're drinking it, you've got to be even more careful about it.
So how did you find the process of learning all of this information? You know, we're used to, we just turn on the tap and we assume that somebody else has done the work of looking after the water quality, whereas what you're saying, when you start to take responsibility for it yourself, there's a few more things that you need to wrap your heads around.
The process of learning about it has been over time. Because I'm a keen gardener, and because I've lived through droughts like most people in South Australia would have, with water restrictions, as a child, I remember being exposed to having to cut buckets of water to plants and stuff like that. And people, we were diverting water from the laundry to the garden. So I guess you learn through experience, but then through reading about how to do it, and then in the end writing a book to help other people do it. So it's been a bit of a progression, but I suppose that's what happens as people gain more knowledge. They get to a point they want to share it, which is what I've done with the book.